Well, welcome on this Labor Day weekend, on this Sunday. So great to have you here. If you're here for the first time, I'm Pastor Steve Pakoda, and I'm the lead pastor here. I'm not going to be speaking this morning because we have a special guest, our brother Jacob Long from Nigeria. He is a district superintendent in one of the northern districts there in Nigeria, an area that has experienced some real persecution and real influx of militant Islam. In fact, the church that he pastored for a number of years, they came in, they burned the building down with not with people in it, but with all the equipment in it. And so this brother knows personally what persecution feels like and looks like. But I love his spirit. I feel like part of what God wants us to be as a church is to be world Christians, to not just be focused in on what's happening here in Seattle or what's happening in Washington or what's happening in the nation of the USA, but to truly be citizens of the King, and that makes us world Christians, where we have a concern really for the whole world. So, Brother Jacob, I'm really looking forward to hearing you share in both of the services this morning. Fine, brother. We have, as a church, a special connection to Nigeria, partly going back to Lillian Bach, a missionary who we supported for many, many years, who was sent out from this congregation. And Lillian influenced the growth of the church in Nigeria in very significant ways. I think many of you know Onam Esonu sat directly under her ministry, and Onam is here with his family, a number of different Nigerians who are part of this congregation. So that's why I thought it was really appropriate to ask Brother Jacob to come. My brother, been a privilege to meet you. I met him just yesterday for the first time, and you're going to appreciate his spirit. You're going to be warmed by what you see of the Spirit of God in him. So Brother Jacob, come.
Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring greetings from my wife, my children, a district where I am privileged to be the district superintendent, especially my daughter, who is here in the States with YWAM as a missionary. Yeah. I'm married with 5 children. Yeah, my first daughter is Abiga. My first son is Andrew. My second son is Timothy. My third son is Philip. And then my second daughter is 14. Her name is Deborah. Amen. I'm glad to be here, and I really want to appreciate God for Pastor Pakoda. He never knew me, but through a brother, Anum, I was able to get in touch with him, and here I am for the first time in Calvary Christian Center. I was in Seattle last year, but not with the Assemblies of God. A church invited me, Halla Baptist Church, and I preached there last year, and this year I am in Calvary Christian Center. I was here last week Thursday, but I have to stop at Fresno, California, where I ministered in some Assemblies of God churches. And by the grace of God, this week I'll be going back to Fresno and to be preaching in Northwest Assemblies of God Church. And then on Monday, by the grace of God, 7th, I will fly back to Nigeria. Amen? Shall we rise? Let's be on our feet as we sing Amazing Grace. testing that again. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How many of us are sure, I mean really sure, that you and I, we were saved by grace? Let me see your hand. We need to close our eyes and sing the amazing grace meditatively with that great assurance that we were saved by grace, we're living by grace, and whatever we are is by grace, and we will make heaven by grace. Let's bow our heads and then let us close our eyes as we sing this song. Think over it. Amazing grace. God bless you. You can take your seat. I want to really appreciate my brothers, my sisters from Nigeria who are here. Last year when I came and I preached in Hala Baptist Church, many of them came, and I even invited some. I don't know if some of them are here, but if you are here, I want to thank you for coming. I was made to understand I have just a few minutes to minister. And so I have to do justice to these few minutes. I want to speak a very simple message titled, The Love of God for the world. The love of God for the world. And the question is, what kind of love did God love the world? It's one thing to know that God loves the world, but it's another thing to know the kind of love he loved the world. If only the church will know the kind of love that God loved the world, then the church will be asking herself, how can I pay? How can the church pay back this love that God loved the world? And so I'm taking my text from John chapter 3, verse 16. And all of us were going to recite that very verse. Because if you are in Assemblies of God member, you should be able to recite John 3:16. Can we recite John 3:16 together? To go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Good. Amen. God's kind of love is a wonderful love. It's a love that is excellent. It's a love that is perfect. God's kind of love is a love that has been and will continue to be a powerful weapon that the church can use to win the world. Amen. It's a very powerful weapon. The love of God, God's kind of love, is a powerful weapon that the church can use to win the world. It's the kind of love that warned you, that brought you to Christ, and is the kind of love that you will use to bring many to Christ. God's kind of love is what the church need to know and is what the church need to do something with this love. I would like to say just four things and I will be done with this message. God's kind of love. Number one is an agape love. Agape. Time will fail me. Time will not permit me to talk much about agape love. But one thing I know, agape love is the love that is meant to reach people who don't deserve. People who do not merit. People who, you know, people who, they don't deserve any good thing from God. The Bible made us to know that there was a time we were at enmity with God. You and I were at enmity. We were enemies of God. We hated God. We don't want to hear about him. We were at enmity with him. Satan was holding us ransom. We were slaves to Satan. But the Bible says, God, in his infinite mercy, reach us through his love. And the Bible said he shed his love abroad in our hearts. And so, even when we do not deserve, Bible tells us that even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. None of us here deserve to be saved. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. Because we were so terribly wicked. But God, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. And so agape love has to do with giving. He gave his only begotten Son. We were only at the receiving end. But God, agape love, is always at the giving end. We are only beneficiaries. And what is grace? We've just sung Amazing Grace. Grace means what you do not deserve is given to you. Grace means unmerited favor. We do not deserve it, but God decided to extend that love to us by giving Jesus Christ as Savior of our lives. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That through faith in Jesus Christ, you and I will not perish, but have life everlasting. And today, because of the love of Jesus Christ that has been shed abroad in us, we have the hope of eternal life. How many of us have this hope today? Hallelujah. So, the love of Jesus is a very wonderful love. If only we can know this love, this agape love, that even when we do not deserve it, God reach us with this very love. This will always make us to think of others. Because you and I do not deserve it, and it's given to us. And how do we pay back what is given to us as gift? We didn't buy it. We didn't deserve it. It was given to us as gift. What do you do? How do you pay back this love? How do I pay back this love? The only way the church can pay back this love is to reach others who do not even deserve also. You can't claim you know Jesus. Hear me and hear me very well. You cannot claim you know Jesus and you do not get involved in what Jesus is doing. Anytime you claim you know Jesus, the only thing that will show you know him is to get involved in what he is doing. Hello? If you say you know Jesus, then you have to do what Jesus has done. What has Jesus done? Jesus saved you. And what should you do? You should extend the love of Jesus to somebody. I had a story of three young men that fell inside a very deep pit and they were about to get drowned. And they were crying inside the big pit. Help! Somebody help! Somebody help! Somebody help! They were about to die. They were about to get drowned. And they were crying for help. They were crying, somebody help! We're dying! We are dying! And here comes somebody from nowhere with a very long stick. And the person was walking. He was walking. And he heard the voice of this young man inside the pit. Somebody help! Somebody help! And the man went and he peeped inside the deep pit and he saw them. They were about to get drowned. And he brought out the stick and then he gave one of them the stick. And said, hold the stick. And the man held the stick. And he was able to pull out the first man. He pulled him out. And he said to the man, I have removed you, pulled you out from this very pit. I am leaving this very stick with you. Now it is your duty to remove your two brothers from the pit. And the man left. He said, I have removed you from this pit. I am leaving the stick with you that I used to remove you from the pit. Now it is your duty to remove your two brothers from the pit. And the man left. Now it was his duty to remove his two brothers. As he peeped, then he told the two brothers, they were crying. They had every hope of him removing them. But they hear what the man said. He said, if you know how to remove yourself, to get yourself out of this pit, you better do. You're on your own. And he left with the stick. He said, if you know how to get out of this very pit, you get out, you are on your own, and then he left with the stick. He never brought them out. I want to ask you a question. How will you describe this man? He was removed by somebody, but now it is his turn to remove another, his fellow brothers. But he left and left them, and they died inside the pit. How will you describe this man? Did somebody understand? Pastor said the man is selfish. The mama said the man is arrogant. Any other contribution? The man is evil. Any other person? The man is, mama, thank you. The man is ungrateful. Any other? The man is disobedient. Is the man inhuman? Is he inhuman? Good. Any other person? How will you describe that man? Devil, evil, arrogant, disobedient, mean, hard-hearted, heartless, ungrateful. Pardon, Papa? What did he say? Just damn. Good. Another person? What's that? No heart. So, good, my brother. Eh? Greedy. Green. No experience. Green. That's good. But I want to ask this congregation, how many wicked, terrible, arrogant, disobedient, all the words we have used, how many people are arrogant, disobedient in this church? Rise up. Let me see your hand up. You get what I'm saying? Is it possible that we have the ingrates here? Is it possible that we have the disobedient here? Is it possible that we have those that are mean here, inhuman, no passion, nothing, heartless? Is it possible that we have them among us? Somebody saved you. You did not come to Christ by yourself. Somebody brought you to Christ. Somebody brought the good news to you. Somebody left his place and came to you. Just like Mrs. Lillian Bach, she left US and came to Nigeria. With mosquitoes, she sacrificed. But what have you done? The Bible is the stick. What have you done? Since you were saved, how many people have you brought them out from the world of sin to Christ? Today, we have people that come to the church and warm the benches. Today, we have people that are saved, but they're not willing to save others. Have you known why, reason why you were saved? You were saved in order to serve. The Bible said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness, and then Christ will come. You and I, we're just nothing but witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the experience we have had in Christ. The salvation we have received in Christ. We can tell of what Christ has done. We can stand in the court of law and testify of what Christ has done, of the goodness of the Lord in us. How many of you can testify of God's goodness in your life? Hey, church. We should not be ingrates. We should not be ungrateful. The Bible tells us that there was famine. How do you pronounce it? Hunger? Famine? Famine? In Samaria. There was no rain. And hunger was everywhere. No food, nothing. But the Bible tells us that even some women started killing their children and eat the meat. Did we learn that from the Bible? But we had some four lepers that said, they said to themselves, if we stay in the city, we are going to die. If we move outside the city, we are going to die. Instead of us to stay in the city, let us just move out and see if we can get food somewhere. But by then, the Assyrian armies surrounded the city. And the Bible tells us that because of that courage, they move out by faith. And when they move out by faith, in the night, God caused the Assyrian armies, the enemies, to run away and leave food, clothing, everything. But something happened. As they discover food, everything, plenty, the Bible says they started eating. They started enjoying. They started eating. They were enjoying. See food, see clothing, see everything, just like America. Everybody would like to come to America. Food, Taco Bell, McDonald's. Hey, you think McDonald's is everywhere? Yesterday, Pastor took me to one beautiful restaurant. What is it? Please, thank you so much for the dinner. Thank you so much. Yeah, he took me to one good restaurant. Good restaurant. That I have to take the remaining one inside in the box to my hotel room. You see, this is, you in Nigeria, thank God I have some of my Nigerian brothers here. We don't have some of these things we have here. Good restaurants, good roads, everything good. Everything works here. 24-hour light, power. But the Bible says, one of them, out of the four, one of them, out of all of you, one of them out of the four said, we will not do well if we stay here with the food and enjoy we ourselves. We will not do well if we enjoy this food alone here. Let us enter the city and tell others that there is food. Hallelujah! Let us enter the city. Some people are our brothers, our sisters are dying. Let us enter the city and ask them, tell them that there is food. And they went and told the people. But the question is, they asked themselves, we will not do well with all the goodness of the Lord that God has showered upon you. You will not do well if you keep quiet and others are dying in sin. You will not do well. I have come to challenge you, to challenge just one person, to challenge one person. You've stayed long without moving out. It's time to move out. It's time to reach out. You've stayed long. You've warmed the benches in the church for a long time. For years, you've been warming the benches. And the songwriter said, shall I go to heaven empty-handed? Shall I go to heaven empty-handed? Church, my time is up. But what I want to leave with you is that I know some of you would like to know about Boko Haram. Boko means Western education. Haram is an Arabic word. These are Arabic words. Haram means illegal or not good. So Boko Haram means Western education is bad. So leave it. And they discover that Christians are the ones that welcome Western education, and for that, do away with the Christians. It started in 2001. When America had September 11, we in Jos, Plateau State, we had September 7th. Real crisis. Killing. They attacked, they started attacking the Christians, burning churches, killing Christians in 2001. And since then, it has not stopped. Nigeria has a population of over 170 million people. Nigeria has three major languages that is being spoken. The Hausa in the northern part, the Yoruba in the western part, and the Igbos in the eastern part. But I stand to be corrected by some of my Nigerian brothers that are here. Nigeria has over 276 different languages, dialects. I have my own. It's called Birom, from Jos, Plateau State. But the thing is this. Boko Haram is a grand design. It's a deliberate move by the Muslims to take over Nigeria, Cameroon, and other African countries. It's a kind of a radical religious sect that is the same thing with Al-Shabaab that tried to declare Mali as an Islamic state. And also, it's the same thing with it's a branch and offshoot of Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Brotherhood from Egypt. But what am I trying to say? All I'm trying to tell you is this. These people have vowed to take over the country. Right now, as I'm talking to you, they have taken over some parts of Borno State where Christians are mostly located. You call it county here, we call it local government. It's like taking over three counties in Washington. So they have succeeded in taking over three local government, and they've raised up their flag, just like the ISIL. They took over part of Syria and part of Iraq, and they raised up their flag. The intention is to declare Sharia law, to make the country an Islamic state. But we thank God, the president of the country, Nigeria, is a Christian. 2010. My church, I used to pastor, before I became the district superintendent, I used to pastor a church of over 700 people. about 700 people or congregation in a place called Bukuru. And 2010, the church is located in the midst of the Muslims. And the church has been there for years. But just one day, I used to live in the church house, the church premises, because we have the church building and we have the pastor's house. So I was living there. And then this crisis busted out. I have to run with my family and leave everything there. I stood on one mountain and I saw the church burned, razed down. They burned all the properties the church had, looted my properties and my children, you know, burned all my members' business, everything, and they killed one of my members. So it's very terrible, very terrible. The church in the northern part is experiencing what is called persecution. Just some few months ago, from nowhere, we had a twin bomb blast. They located where Christians are gathering, doing their business, and then they blasted the bombs that killed almost 120. In Abuja, our federal capital, they have inside the church, like as we're having church, immediately we go out from this church, bomb blast is waiting, and many will die. In the northern part, we've been experiencing a lot of bomb blasts. And I have my members scattered. I have to start from the scratch again, all over again. But one thing is, apart from the Boko Haram, there is another branch of the Boko Haram that is the nomadic Fulanese. These are nomads. They go with cows. Now, the Fulanese use, when they come to the house in the night, they will kill the entire family and burn the whole, the small community, burn, raise down everything, and they will leave in the name of Islam. But I don't have much time. All I just want you to know is that the church in Nigeria, especially in the northern part of Nigeria, is experiencing persecution. Church, we used to hear about persecution. We've read and we have been reading about persecution, but we've never experienced persecution until now. It's like you are in America, you don't know what persecution is all about. Like my church now is a no-go area. I cannot go to the church. I cannot, my members cannot go to the church. We have to change location. Because if you go there, they will kill you. It's a no-go area. There are places in Jos, Kano, and other places in the north that this is Muslim side, this is Christian side. If you go to the Muslim, they will kill you. So, it's real persecution. We need your prayers. We need your prayers. But you see, as I close this message or round up this message, our missionaries, when they came to Nigeria, they never taught us how to handle guns. They only taught us how to pray, how to love. They taught us the word of God. They taught us that the powerful weapons that God has been using and will continue to use is prayer and the word and his love. We have come to discover that you cannot win a Muslim with physical battle, but you can only win him with the love of Jesus. And so when they come to us with guns, with bombs, with whatever, we go to them with the love of Christ. The God's kind of love, the agape love that reaches out, that tells you live where you are and reach out to those enemies, people who would not like to see you. Let me round up with this very story and then we'll rise up and pray. There was this sister, a very dedicated sister, a Christian sister in the Lord. She lived in the same house with another sister that is not a Christian. So, but something happened. The sister that was not a Christian was so wicked. She didn't want to see the Christian sister. Very wicked. I mean terribly wicked. Every day, she will be looking for her trouble. But the Christian sister will always remain calm. She will look for her trouble. The Christian sister will remain calm. The wicked sister would like to hear this Christian sister say some bad words against her, but she will not. She will close her mouth. She will not say anything bad against her. One day, can I hear you say one day? Good. One day, the wicked sister, the unbelieving sister, went to office. But before she left for her office, she washed clothes in the morning and dried them. So, and this Christian sister did not go to work. She was at home. But something happened. When the Christian sister discovered the clouds have gathered and it was about to rain, this Christian sister packed all the clothes of the other wicked sister who does not want to see her, who always see her as an enemy, gathered all the clothes, took the clothes to her room, and then ironed them and packaged them very well. So, when the other sister came back from her office work, and she did not see her clothes, and she started shouting, "Who remove my clothes from here?" And she started wrecking. And the Christian sister brought out the whole clothes. She ironed them very well. Packaged them very well. And said, "Sister, I gathered the clothes. I took them to my room when you were in your place of work. I've ironed them. I've packaged them for you. These are the clothes." What? Somebody say what? You know, the unbelieving sister was you know, she was amazed. She was amazed. Said, "How can you, my enemy, do something good to me like this?" She was amazed. She was surprised to see somebody that she hated is able to do good to her. And she went on her knees, and tears were coming, flowing from her eyes. And she begged this sister and said, "Please forgive me. I will never hate you again. I will love you from today. Please, I want to know about this your Jesus that has made a difference in you. I want this your Jesus to make a difference in my life." And the Christian sister led her to Christ, and she gave her life to Christ. There are people, you can never win them with money. You can never win them with anything. But when it comes to love, God's kind of love, when you reach out to them, you will win them. Hallelujah. Shall we rise and pray? Let's bring our two hands together again as we sing Amazing Grace. That always reminds us of what God has done.
Amazing grace.
feel like praying for somebody who understood what I have just said. If you feel what I've said makes sense to you and you will want my prayer so that God will give you the grace to reach to somebody, let me see your hand up. Hey, you know what? This week, tomorrow is Labor Day. You can use it to reach somebody. I expect the attendance of this church to double by next Sunday. How many of you are in agreement? Because when you remember grace, you will always like to extend the grace. God owes you somebody, a soul that you will preach to and then invite the person to come to church next Sunday. The hotel pastor checked me in. I asked the Lord, God, give me direction. Let me win somebody in this hotel for Christ. And the receptionist is a sister from Eritrea. And the Lord led me, and I start ministering to this receptionist, and she gave her life to Christ. And pastor is my witness. For the first time, she gave her life to Christ. If not because she's in her place of work, she would have been here today. But I want you to pray and say, God, give me direction. Give me direction. This week, I want to talk to somebody. I want to talk, extend your love to even my enemy. I want to talk to my neighbor. I want to talk to a colleague in my office. I want to talk to a friend. I want to talk to a sister, a brother. Win the person to Christ and invite the person to church. By the time I come to Seattle next year, by the grace of God, this place will be filled up and the gallery will be filled up. Everywhere will be filled up. The church will have an overflow. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the grace you've given me to speak forth your word. Thank you for the understanding of the word. And thank you for these hands that have been raised before you. I ask that, Lord, you grant them the grace to extend your grace to others. Lord, I pray that you will help us not to be wicked like that man who was removed, pulled out from the pit, but refused to pull others. Oh Lord, help us to be like that lady who was able to win her enemy through love. Give us the grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you real good.